Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. Hey, real quick, before we get started, I have a favor to ask. If you've listened to the podcast before, or if you enjoy the episode you're about to hear, please like the podcast on social media, and please leave a review. Having listeners like and review the podcast is the fastest way for it to grow and reach more people, and we really want to share our stories with the biggest audience possible. Thank you. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone Real Estate Team. That's right. We sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anyone looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Fort Mill, Rock Hill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, count me down, Brian.
3, 2, 1, go.
That was really hard not to interrupt. Do it one more time, sorry.
5, 4, because I know you wanted me to start from 5. I saw the look on your face. When I started from 3, he's like, okay, so 5, 4, 3.
My New Year's resolution is to stop interrupting you.
Starting now. Yeah, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well.
Did you have a good New Year's?
I had a great New Year's, man. I went to Charleston, saw Perpetual Groove.
I didn't ask what you did. I just asked if it was good.
Yeah, it was great.
Rachel, how about you?
Fantastic.
What'd you do?
I had a friend come in from out of town.
Okay.
We just hung out.
That's how I like to do it.
What'd you do, Chris? You were asleep by 10:30, weren't you?
I didn't even make it to 10:30.
No?
It was probably about 10.
Okay. Yeah.
Knocked out. I've been battling an illness. I'm better now, but the whole week I was pretty much in bed all week, so. But who cares? I'm better now, and 2018 is here. Woo woo. Do you have any resolutions?
No.
You don't have a single resolution?
No, I don't make resolutions.
Oh, do you have one? Any?
I don't make resolutions, but I pick a word.
Okay.
It keeps me focused for the whole year.
Like a theme for the year?
Yes.
So that's very... Okay, have you listened to, what's it called? Creating a Story Brand podcast? Or Story Brand?
I have.
Yes. So I was listening to that on the way here, and the guest, I guess this was last year around this time, said the same thing. She used to work for Twitter. I forget her name. Katie Diaz.
Something. I've seen that recently a lot. Is that a thing where people are coming up with like words and themes for the year?
Yeah.
I think it started to because there's so much research done around how resolutions don't stick.
Right.
It goes back
I'll be there in February and I'll be like, well, next year.
So what's your theme for 2018?
Impact.
Impact. Making,
I'm making
an impact.
An impact in 2018.
Okay. Well, awesome. So Rachel Gilmore is the guest today. She's an entrepreneur, author, success coach. She's a holistic love leader and a transformational speaker. She's co-authored 2 books, The Unstoppable Woman of Purpose, The Success Secrets for Today's Feminine Entrepreneur. She's a leader of an awesome Facebook group called The Love Leaders Tribe, and she's also been featured on WBTV. So Rachel, welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, that was a brief, quick introduction, but if you don't mind, if you'll share some of your personal story and some of your professional background, and then how you got started with the holistic love leader stuff.
Absolutely. Sure. So, I've always been an entrepreneur, and my passion really is in helping entrepreneurs, because I believe that it's starting to happen now where more and more people are talking about entrepreneurship and it's more widely accepted and there's starting to be like classes you can take at schools and things of that nature. But I think when I was a kid, it was something that was never discovered. Like nobody talked about it, right?
Just like find your job and work your job.
Yeah, you go to school, get good grades, get a job, you know, go to college, get a job. Get married, have 2.5 kids, right?
That was 2.5.
Nobody ever talked about having, you know, starting your own business or being an entrepreneur. And yet, had somebody talked to me about that, like had that been an option, then my life might be completely different than it is right now. But I just feel like that I didn't know that that's what I was. I just knew I was different than everybody else. And so I went through so much challenges, like starting businesses and trying to find myself, trying to find fulfillment outside of myself because I wasn't doing what brought me joy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
which kind of led me on this path of ultimately self-discovery and recognizing I am an entrepreneur and giving myself to be an entrepreneur, even though society, you know, placed these standards on you, like, go get a job, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even my ex-husband would be like, are you just going to go get a job already? Like, why don't you just go get a job?
Sounds very familiar.
And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, that's death for me. Like, that will stifle, you might as well just kill me now. Because the thought of, like, somebody telling me what time I have to be somewhere, you know, that whole just doesn't work for me. I needed something outside of the box, and I need to be fulfilled. If I'm not fulfilled in the work that I do in this world, then I lose interest. So that's really what propelled me to starting my own business, identifying that. Somebody asked me once, when did you know that what fulfilled you? And it was the moment that I realized that I was adding value to other people's lives. And when I had that experience, I was in the gym and people was coming to me and saying, tell me what you're doing. Like, you look fantastic and this and this and this, and I've been working really hard and I'm not getting the same results you're getting. And I started sharing with people what I was doing, and I could see them light up and I could see them starting to have transformations. And when I was adding value to other people, I'm like, that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to add value to other people's lives. So it's just been a series of events that have happened in my life that's brought me to that place. Okay, now how do I continue to add value to people's lives?
Mm-hmm. So when you were growing up, you said you always felt a little bit different. Do you have any, like, where did you grow up? And then what made you feel like you were different? And then how did you get into becoming an entrepreneur versus going to college, getting a regular job and all that sort of stuff? Like, walk us through a little bit of that.
So when I was a child, I grew up in Pittsburgh, right outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm one of 9 kids, and my siblings all were pretty smart.
Chris knows about that.
Oh, yeah.
Having smart siblings.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to say smart.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had smart siblings, and I didn't feel so smart. And so I couldn't spell. I didn't do well in school, and so I got in trouble a lot. And there are very specific times where I recall a certain teacher say to me things like, you're stupid and you're never going to amount to anything. Mm. And then if I wouldn't do certain assignments, I would have to stay after school. And then my dad would come to pick me up after school, and the teachers would say things to him like, she's stupid, she's never going to amount to anything if you don't get her to, you know, do her work. And he would agree and be like, yeah, and I know. Like, I know she's
Tell
like,
me about it.
And then he'd take me home, and then I would, you know, I would get in trouble. And there would be spankings and, you know, things like that. I was like, I was not like everybody else. I knew I was different. But I couldn't bring myself to do those things. Like, I didn't want to conform. I didn't want to do those things.
I mean, I just have this image of, like, you know, this mill town or steel worker type of father, you know, with 9 kids.
So. Military.
Military, yeah. So, yeah, if having a hard time to conform would be difficult for a child.
Mm-hmm. I did not want to conform. Not at all. So I barely made my way through school, you know, and my senior year in high school, so I went to a private school my whole life until my senior year. My parents actually separated right before my senior year in high school, and we left the private school and I went to public school. And in the public school, I took a psychology course that was like a college prep psychology course, and I fell in love with psychology. I was like, where has this been my whole life? Like, I just got it. And I actually made straight A's the entire year in that psychology class, which was the first time in my entire life I had ever got an A. So it was something that was of interest to me.
Yeah.
So when I moved to Carolinas, it was to go to school as a psychology major, but I quickly discovered the school was not for me. Didn't matter if I loved it. Now, if I could have just taken psychology courses and not had to do math and science and all this stuff, I would have probably stuck with it, but I quickly dropped out. And ultimately, that's what I'm doing now anyways. Yeah. I just don't have the master's degree in psychology. So yeah, that answered
your question. Yeah. What was the next step for you after you said college is not going to work out for me? What'd you do next?
Well, I had a job I was working, and they offered me a manager's position, which brought me to Charlotte, and I took it. And so I came here managing a jewelry store. And I made good money. I was like 19 years old.
Is that where you got the earrings?
I'm a big fan of earrings.
I like those earrings.
Those are cool. Are those dream catchers?
They are. Yeah. All women should wear big earrings. just kind of a thing. But so yeah, in that I was just like, that was a job where I was making good money. And at that point in my life, I'm like, I'm just going to figure it out. I'll figure out my next move. I don't need to know right now, which is kind of how I live my life. And like, total surrender that like God is working everything out perfectly for me, and I don't have to have everything figured out ahead of time. I can just go with the flow, and the right doors and the right opportunities and the right people, and everything is going to show up in the perfect timing and not a minute before I'm ready for it.
How did your parents react to you telling them you're leaving Pittsburgh as you're going to quit school and move to Charlotte?
They knew me well enough to know that there was nothing that they could say to. At that point, my parents were separated, and I wasn't in contact with my dad at all.
Oh, okay.
And my mom had a really hard time with it. My mom and I are very close. And I kind of left her to raise my three younger brothers and my little sister on her own. So she struggled with it. Ultimately, she ended up taking my dad back because I left. But I just followed my heart, honestly. It said, you got to get out. You got to get away. I feel like I would have died staying there. Mm. Like, suffocated. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And then, so you're managing this jewelry store. Then what came after that?
I met my now ex-husband, who also managed a store in the mall. And
so you guys just rendezvous at the food court and fall in love?
Something like that. I don't know about the falling in love part. But the truth is that my dad was, you know, I say abusive because that's what it was. And my older sisters didn't have great relationships with the men in their lives. I had no real example of a man who was kind. And so I just said, I'm going to meet a man who's going to be kind to me. And I'm going to marry him. Like, I don't need to be in love with him.
Mm.
If I get in love, then I'm going to get hurt. Mm. Like, he could potentially hurt me. I don't want to be hurt. I just want someone to be nice to me. I wanted a man to be nice to me because I had never really experienced that in my life. So here comes this guy, and he's super nice. And he 2 months after dating, he says, marry me. And I said, okay. And I can remember my sister saying, are you in love with this guy? And I'm like, no, but he's so nice to me.
Interesting.
So
fascinating.
So we married and started having kids, and that's when I was like, I don't feel fulfilled. I started looking for ways outside of myself for that fulfillment, because I wasn't fulfilled in my relationship.
So were you looking for other lines of work at this point? Were you were still at the jewelry store, I take it, or?
Well, right around the time we got married, I left the jewelry store and went into managing apartment communities.
Okay.
And that was fun, because I had some freedom to manage the way I wanted to manage and that sort of thing. But I wanted to own my own business. That's what I wanted. So after we had our first daughter, I left that job and I went into a network marketing MLM business. And I put everything into that, and went to all the events, and you know, did the whole. I was like, in it. It's gonna make millions doing this. Mm-hmm. Which one was it? It was Amway.
Oh, okay.
Amway. Okay, yeah.
Woo. I made like $17 a month.
Which is
before expenses,
on average, about right.
And I worked hard.
Yeah.
I really, really worked hard, but I didn't have the mindset for success. Everything I was doing was motivated by fear, because it goes back to those times where I was in school, where my teachers and my dad and everybody said, "You're stupid. You're never going to amount to anything." It was like I was motivated by that to prove them wrong. So my motivation was out of alignment. And it was kind of a fear-based motivation. I'm going to make this work. I'm going to do this. And so I was doing it for the wrong reasons, so to speak.
So what would be the alternate to being fear-motivated? What would have motivated you, say, what would have been a better choice motivation, if that's a decent question?
Well, so now, like, so, you know, talked about impact. That's my word for the year. It's like I ask the question for everything in my life. Like, what is my ultimate purpose for being here? What's my ultimate purpose? I think my ultimate purpose for being here is to bring more love into this world. Because so many people will use the word broken, like I was, right? Where they have no self-worth. They're operating out of fear. And if I was instead operating from a place of love, knowing my self-worth, knowing my value, knowing how loved I am, then it would have completely changed everything. But my mindset was operating from fear. So I think some people are out there operating from a place of fear, and if they can shift that and operate from a place of love, then, right, it's like if we want to go into like the law of attraction, right? Mm-hmm. So we attract what we are. So I was attracting a lot of fearful, limited belief systems, lack, scarcity, mm-hmm. fear, all of those things on that same kind of vibrational frequency is what I was attracting into my life. So it wasn't until I could shift that and begin to operate from more of a place of love, knowing who I am, knowing I'm loved, knowing I'm worthy, then that's when my life has completely and utterly transformed. So now I ask the question, this action, activity, this thing, is it going to bring more love into the world? Is it going to impact somebody in a powerful way? Is it going to help them learn to love themselves or value themselves a little bit more so that they can then in return have an impact?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's really powerful. What happened with Amway?
I think it just kind of fell away because I wasn't really making any money. And I wanted something. So that's when I started Lake Wiley Pet Resort.
Yeah.
I can remember like researching what is a business that can withstand any like economic problems, and everything coming back to animals. People will take care of their animals.
Yes, right.
No matter what, it's like their kids. So anything pet related can withstand. People will still spend money there. So I went to Winthrop. I worked for months and put together a business plan, and went to work and made it happen and opened Lake Wiley Pet Resort. But again, it wasn't fulfilling for me. It was not fulfilling at all. I made a lot of money.
So even though you were running your own business and you spent all that time and effort into it, it still wasn't fulfilling for you?
It was not fulfilling for me. I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed the starting of the business. I enjoyed all the work leading up to now that the doors are open and it's time to go to work. Then I was like, okay, I'm done with this now. Because I don't like the routine of the same thing every day. So for me, the point of like starting the business, writing the business plan, working with the county to get all of the power letter and having everything brought up to code and, you know, working with all of that stuff that's different and changing and very engaging. And I love that challenge to get the doors open once the doors were open. And then now I'm in this daily routine of same thing every day. I was like, oh, this is not for me at all. So my sister came to work for me. My mom worked for me, and a lot of family members working there. And then I was like, okay, I gotta find something else. And then that's when I switched over to the fitness, because now I was adding value to people in the fitness world.
Yeah. So what do you do in the fitness world? Your personal training and stuff like that?
Personal training, nutrition coaching, holistic health coaching, wellness coaching, because a lot of people that would come in the door to lose weight, it was more of an emotional than it was anything else. So I found myself doing a lot of life coaching with my clients who were coming in for personal training. And so that was transformational for me to see clients transforming and going from a place where they felt, you know, their physiology was kind of like, you know, depressing, mm-hmm. to like coming in and being confident, excited, like, I lost 2 more pounds this week. Like, you could see the changes in their physiology and in their attitude and in their confidence in the way that they carry themselves. And I loved that. That brought me a lot of fulfillment, a lot of joy.
At what point did fitness become a part of your life? Like,
so after I had my third child, which I've always been very active. I've always been very active. Growing up with 5 brothers, we always were very active and riding motorcycles and whatever. So it was something that I always enjoyed, was working out. And after my third daughter was born, I was overweight, and I joined a gym and I hired a personal trainer and I started working out, and I got in the best shape of my entire life. And you know, I'd come home and I'd flex in the mirror, and you know, I was like,
sun's out, guns out.
I was like ripped, and the more muscle mass I could see happening, and the more, you know, definition you could see, the more motivated and
driven. Yeah, it does. It has a lot of motivation when you start seeing the results.
Yeah. So I was driven by my own results, and then people in the gym started saying, "What are you doing?" And then I was like, "I think I'm supposed to be a personal trainer." Now I had this pet resort that I'm still running. And I went back and got my personal training certification. So I was kind of doing both things, had one foot in the door. And I was like, I want to open my own studio. And yeah, so then that just kind of brought me into that. I found a lot of fulfillment. At one point, my sister was running the pet resort and we just had a conversation. And I said, do you want it? Because I don't anymore.
Yeah.
You can have it if you want it.
Okay.
And she's like, I do. I'm like, okay, so... that's kind of how I let that go.
All right, cool. So that kind of leads us up to what you're doing now, right? After, are you still doing personal training or fitness training?
No.
Now you are a holistic love leader. So what is that?
So really, it's helping people. So a lot of I do a lot of inner child work, which is helping people identify the belief systems that they created as a child. So whatever belief system you have today was more than likely developed as a child. So somebody might have said something to you and you believed it to be true. Doesn't mean it was your truth, but it shaped your life to some degree. So our lives are shaped by the situations, the circumstances, our environment, our family, like what's happening in our lives. And many of those are, so in NLP, one of the things we learn is that outside circumstances happen. And when they happen, our minds distort, delete, and generalize how we perceive that situation to be, right? And then we create this internal representation of what we believe that that event means. And then based on that internal representation, it creates a state within us or a physiology, you know, where we're confident or we're insecure. And then what comes out is our behavior or our language. So how we show up in the world is a result ultimately of how we perceive the events that take place in our life. So if I can help somebody perceive, go back and be like, you're perceiving that event as a not true reality. Maybe you believe that you're not loved or that you're not worthy or that you're not deserving or whatever the case may be. It came from some event that you distorted, deleted, generalized, created an internal representation, and now it's creating your behavior. And if your behavior isn't getting you the results that you want in your life, it's because you need to go back and change your perception of those events in your life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but can you give me an example? Mm-hmm. How does someone come to you for help, and how does all that start? Like, what do you say?
Okay, so like, let me give you one of my own personal examples. It's like when I was a child and I believed I was stupid. Because I couldn't spell, and you know, and so the first time somebody asked me if I was interested in co-authoring a book, it was like, my grammar's off, or I can't spell, like,
yeah.
Me, like, those stories that I believed that I wasn't good enough and wasn't worthy of that came back up, and then if I would have allowed it, it would have stopped me from co-authoring that book. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So people come to me and they say, I want to make a lot of money in business, or I want to make an impact in business, or I want to start my own business, but I'm stuck in fear and I don't know how to move past it. So then I can go back and help them understand why they believe what they believe. And then we can change the story to what is truth, what is reality. It's like reframing. And it's a lot of mindset work. It's a lot of getting in the mind and asking a lot of questions and uncovering and identifying what is it that they believe that's preventing them from accomplishing what they want to accomplish. Because the truth is you can accomplish anything you want to accomplish if you change your mindset the way you believe about it. So I had to change my mindset, and this is why I've always worked with a coach. Because if I wouldn't have changed that mindset, I would still be sitting here thinking I'm stupid and I'm never going to amount to anything, and it would limit me, and I would have certainly never co-authored a book. I would have never started my own businesses. I would have never faced those fears because it would have had such a grip on me. So many people are walking around with this grip on them that they believe that they're not worthy of that which they desire because of something that somebody told them that they believe to be true.
Yeah.
So we've got to change their belief system. That's like the most important thing. So the biggest clients that come to me are people who know deep down inside that they're a little bit different, that they want to start a business, or they want to grow their business, or they want to make more money, or maybe they want to fall in love and they don't believe that they're worthy of love because somebody told them that somewhere along the way, or made them feel that way. Then I can help them change that. And I've done it in my own life, in every area of my life. So I did it, whether it was through feeling like I was stupid and you know, or couldn't start a business or wasn't worthy of good relationships or anything, everything, good health. So I've changed all of that for myself, and I know how to do it.
Now, is this just something that kind of progressed with your physical fitness journey as well, or did you make a specific effort to kind of self-develop and grow that side of your consciousness, I guess?
So the fitness part was, so ultimately what happened with the fitness and why I don't still have a fitness studio is because I was operating out of fear. So my motivators were get in the best shape of your life and look really hot, because if you do, then you will be perceived as good enough. Because growing up, I never felt like I was good enough. I never made good grades. I never lived up to some of my siblings were doing. So my operation was like, be good enough. So in this striving to be good enough, I was out of alignment. So I was like working super, super hard. I was pushing myself to the max. And going through a separation with my ex and having a business and having actually two businesses and being in the gym all the time and pushing my body to the limit, my body actually shut down on me. And I was eating all organic, I was exercising 7 days a week, and I started gaining weight and I started feeling fatigued. And by the time I got to the doctor, he's like, gave me some labels of diseases, which I don't identify with, and said, you have to stop. And you have to stop working out. And that's when I lost my identity as being that person that was good enough. And so in losing that, it allowed me the opportunity to find myself. Who am I really? And if I hadn't have lost that, then I wouldn't be where I'm at today, because I would have still been striving out of fear. So when I lost that identity, it was like, okay, everything came tumbling down, everything. And then I could rebuild on a brand new foundation. And that was on a foundation of knowing that I didn't need to be any specific type of way to be good enough, that I was already good enough. It was just a matter of me perceiving myself differently.
Did you come across any books or materials that kind of jump-started this revolution for you?
I worked with coaches, and I read a lot of books, and I took a lot of classes, a lot of courses, a lot of certifications, where I was constantly studying. How can I heal my body was my first. How can I heal my body holistically? Because I refuse to take any Western medicine. I'm going to heal my body holistically. So I was in a search of healing my body holistically, and then I came across the mind-body connection and discovered that every time something physical shows up in our body, it's because we first had an emotional belief system behind it, and that emotion creates within us disease in our body. So when I discovered that, I was like, oh, now I have to heal these emotions. Mm-hmm. Now I got to go back and deal with this childhood stuff that I don't want to talk about. I don't want to think about it. I just want to keep it hidden. But the truth is that hidden childhood stuff that I was hiding from, it was in the dark.
So how'd you tackle it? How'd you go back and face your childhood?
Working with a coach. Yeah. So it's like scary. You don't want to go back and look at your childhood
stuff.
It's scary. Mm-hmm. But before, when I said your subconscious mind, your conscious mind creates goals. Your subconscious mind makes the goals happen. So your subconscious mind, if you can think about it, is that inner child that it's in the dark. Until you go and find out what that subconscious mind actually believes, your conscious mind can't create. So you're out of rapport. Your subconscious mind and your conscious mind are not in rapport with one another. So all of those things from my childhood, those belief systems that I wanted to keep in the dark, until like I shined the light on them, they were running my life. So the moment I started shining the light on that darkness, which was painful, it was painful to bring up some of those things, then I could begin to see, oh my gosh, I believe that. That's not even true.
Mm.
You know, and it was through a coach helping me identify, like, that's not truth. Just because somebody told you you're stupid doesn't mean you're stupid. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, it was almost like I never thought of it that way. We don't know what we don't know.
Right.
So then I started uncovering these emotions that were running my life. And that's where I uncovered, like, fear had been running my life, too. And I don't want fear to run my life anymore.
Right.
You know? And then I started feeling fulfilled from within, and that I didn't need to go out and prove to anybody else that I was good enough. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to be in the gym working out like crazy because, you know, if I didn't have a perfect body, then I won't be good enough. And I didn't need to be striving to, you know, be so successful in business because that would make me good enough. So that's really when I started building on a foundation of love. And then that's where the holistic leader. But going even one step further, so a little over 2 years ago, I lost my brother. And at that time, I was already doing some life coaching. And at his funeral, everybody kept saying, like, he was love. Like, he loved everybody. He loved everybody. And I wrote about this in my book. He was an air traffic controller, and he would hold Bible studies at the tower, the air traffic control tower. And he played hockey, and he would talk to the guys he played hockey with, and he listened to everybody. He loved everybody, and he talked about love everywhere he went. He went to Africa a couple times a year, supported a missionary there. He was all about love, and he would talk about, like, God is love. God is love. That was, like, his whole thing. And so when I came back from his funeral, of course, I was devastated, and a good friend of mine said, I know you've kind of been working on finding yourself, and there's something to this whole piece that it's almost like Travis has handed off to you. It's your turn to continue to share love. And that impacted me in such a powerful way. It was like in that moment, every cell in my body like lit up, and it was like, yes, yes, yes. It was like I had this very, very clear knowing, yes, now it's my responsibility to continue his message of love. So how can I help people begin to love themselves and know that they are loved? And even if they don't feel loved, God loves them, right? So love kind of became my underlying theme. And then what I realized is, like, if you're living in fear, love is so far away. There's so many little steps between fear and love that you've got to take. So it's really about helping people take those little steps in between. If somebody's living in fear, love looks so far away. It's about, what are the little steps? It's getting to courage. It's getting to some other places before they get to that place of love.
What are some of the practical steps to take that you recommend to people?
Well, it's really facing those stories that created their reality. It's facing their childhood. So when I begin to work with a client, we always go back. Steve Jobs said it, right? You can't connect the dots moving forward. You got to connect the dots looking back. So I have to start looking back and figure out why you believe what you believe today. And is that your truth? And then we can begin to put together an action plan for changing your belief system. But it requires a lot of awareness. Because we think, I don't know how many thoughts we think a day, but 80% of the thoughts we think are negative. And 80% of those thoughts we think every single day. So if we talk like in terms of neural pathways in your brain has these neural pathways. Every time we think a thought, it's like digging a groove into your brain. And so that's safe. Like, our brain is designed to keep us safe. Mm-hmm. Habits are designed to keep us safe. If you forgot how to get to work or how to brush your teeth or how to make food, like, what would our lives be like? So habits are super necessary for us to function as high-functioning humans. But those same habits also keep us stuck in these patterns of perpetual thoughts over and over and over again. So you have to have an awareness. I keep having this thought, and it's not serving me. So instead of having this thought, I'm going to create a new thought. Well, to create a new thought, now you're going to start making a new neural pathway, a new groove in that brain. But your brain's like, no, this is safe. This is safe. Let's go back over here. So you keep like jumping back into old patterns, old thoughts, which is why New Year's resolutions don't work. Mm. We can say, I want to do this, but your brain's like, uh-uh. Mm-hmm. There's no pathway for
your
that.
Your brain's like, you like Cheetos. You're not going to go work out. You're going to stay eating Cheetos.
Just right. Relax. You got Netflix for a reason.
Yeah.
So what? Why do people change? That's a high level of awareness. My brain is wanting to keep me where it's always kept me. And it's not serving me. And that's where I ask that question. What is my ultimate purpose here? If my ultimate purpose is to bring more love into this world, then am I going to let this old pattern control me? Or am I going to step into this new one? And having a coach or having somebody in your life who can hold you accountable is huge. It's huge. I mean, my clients will reach out to me like, I want to get back into this old pattern so bad.
Mm-hmm. How do you encourage people to find, like, what fulfills them? Like, when you were working all those other jobs, you kept saying that you weren't fulfilled. But how would you encourage someone else to find what it is that makes them happy and what it is that fulfills them?
I think it's different for everybody, but for me, it was like, what brings you the most joy? And when I was in the gym and I realized I was adding value to somebody's life, that made me feel fulfilled. So maybe you go out and volunteer and see how that makes you feel. There's so many different ways. You just have to try different things. What brings you joy? When you know what brings you joy, if it brings you joy working with kids, maybe you should be working with kids, you know? If it brings you joy to do something every day, maybe you should be an entrepreneur. You just, you know, people kind of have a little bit of an intuition. They know what they don't like. So it's really asking a lot of questions and really getting to know somebody and finding out what lights them up, what makes them come alive, what makes them feel excited, what do they love doing, and follow that. Like, if we all followed our joy, can you imagine if we walked around in the world and everybody was happy and fulfilled and joyful? Can you imagine?
It'd be a nice world, huh?
Right. So what if we gave everybody permission to follow their joy? What if? And like, I don't know what your belief system is, and I'm certainly not trying to put my belief system on anybody, but I believe that God is love. And if we, for those of us that call ourselves Christians, like, who was Christ and how are we to be Christ-like? And he didn't judge. He loved everybody. And we walk around and we're not joyful. Why would anybody want what we have? I don't want to be around somebody who's negative and irritable and grumpy. Well, if your job's making you negative, irritable, and grumpy, maybe it's time to consider a career change.
Yeah.
And if you're not, what's the reason why not?
It's because it goes back into people being comfortable.
People being comfortable and pressure from society. Mm-hmm. Pressure to, like, now I have a house, now I have a family, now I have responsibilities. But if you're miserable, you're hurting everybody around you.
Right.
It's not serving you, and it's not serving anybody around you. And you're not adding value to anybody's lives. Like, why are we here if we're not adding value to people's lives? Like, you know, I mean, we're here to be the light. Like, for me, that's what I believe. I believe everybody on earth is here to be a light. And so if you're not being the light, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're just waiting to die?
Survive. Yeah, you're just here.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, go out and face some fears. Go out and do something you always wanted to do. Go book a trip to Thailand.
You know? Speaking of which, you're really going to Thailand.
Tell us about that. What brought that on?
So I started living my life about 2 years ago totally by faith. Like, I know what I'm here to do, and I don't exactly know how to do that. I'm just going to surrender. I'm just going to trust. And I would create vision boards, and on my vision board, I would be like, what brings me the most joy? Because I know if I'm in joy, then I'm going to fulfill my purpose to the highest. Right? Because that's how it works. And so I'm like, what brings me the most joy? So I created this vision board and I put pictures of Thailand and Bali and all these places I want to travel to. And I do this, and I'm very intentional about how I live my life. Like, I'm intentional every day. I don't leave my house until I set my intentions on how I want to show up in the world, because I'm here to bring more love into the world. So I got to be intentional about doing that every day. Otherwise, I'm just reacting, right? So I just live by faith, and I'm like, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to travel, but I know I'm supposed to. So I'm just going to trust. The how and the why and the when and the who and all those things are not up to me. And so I have this networking group, and Jen Cron is a member of my networking group. And she says one day, so we're doing, if you go to my website, you can sign up to win a free vacation. So I go to her website and I sign up, forget about it, I don't even think about it. And like 6 months later, she calls me on the phone and she says, hey, Rachel, do you remember that vacation that it was on my website? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, somebody in MBS won it. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm thinking somebody in my group won. Oh my God, I was so excited. And I'm like, I think I'm like giggling. Yeah. You know, I'm excited. And she's like, Rachel. And I'm like, what? And she's like, it was you. And I'm like,
oh wow.
Yeah. So I just was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Like, it really did. It was $10,000 to spend any way you want to spend it. You can travel anywhere in the world you want to travel. And so I was just like, for a while it was like, I couldn't fully comprehend what that meant.
Yeah.
You know? And people were like, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, on my vision board, you know, there's Bali. And I'm like, I think I'm going to Bali. So what I know is that when you follow your bliss, when you follow joy, when you're intentional about being the light and about being love, like, miracles happen in your life. Amazing things happen in your life. Opportunities show up. And so I know for me to be the best coach to my clients, I need to travel, because that brings me so much joy and it makes me so much more powerful. And so if I'm really here, which I am, to be love and to be light, then everything that I need to be the best is going to present itself to me. So it only makes sense that this opportunity would present itself to me, this money would come to me. Because the truth is, if somebody handed me $10,000 in cash, I would probably put it towards bills and been like super responsible. But what my soul wanted was to travel. And so I got what I needed, and not necessarily, does that make sense?
Yeah.
I got what I needed.
You got what you needed.
And so it now I think every time I want something, I'm like, just surrender, because there's a power greater than me that knows what I need better than what I know. And so I don't have to worry about how, I don't have to worry about who, I don't have to worry about when, I don't have to worry about all the details. I can surrender that and know if I'm doing what I'm here to do and I'm focused on being love and light and I'm taking action steps consistently towards being that, all of my needs are going to be met, and then some.
Yeah, awesome. No doubt.
So,
are there any things what are some things that you do day to day that help you, like your day to day routine? Like, do you meditate or do yoga or writing a gratitude journal or things like that? I mean, what are some things you do every day?
I'm super specific. Like, my morning routine is so specific. I don't schedule anything in my mornings, because I get up and before I ever get on social media or turn anything on, I write my gratitude journal every day, because that's changed my life. I set my intentions. I will journal. I'll pray. I'll meditate. I just set my intentions, how I'm going to show up in the world today. And the other thing I started recently doing, which has been huge for me, is I write out my goals every day. Mm. What are my goals every day? And I keep them in front of me.
Like your goals for that day?
Or no.
For, okay.
Just like, so I do everything, like I have my word and I have my vision for what I want 2008 to be look like. And then I have my goals, and then I have action steps. Mm-hmm. So the action steps helps me reach the goal. The goals help me reach, you know, the vision, which ultimately is, what is that word? And even that word impact even goes even deeper to, like, what is my purpose here, which is to be love. So I have this. And so my goals are just to keep in front of me, this is what I have to do to make an impact. So if I'm here to make an impact, what is it that I have to do? And I'll just write those out every day. And it just constantly keeps them in front of me. And so that is where I'm no longer motivated and guided by fear. I'm motivated and guided by my higher purpose, which is to bring more love into the world. So my goals, they pull me. Like, I don't have to get up and be like, ugh, today I gotta do this. No, I get out and I'm like, today I get to do this, because my life is amazing. I get to do this. So writing out my goals has been huge for me. And then breathing. I do breathing exercises every morning. It's been life-changing too.
What kind of breathing medicine?
So you can find this on YouTube. It's Wim Hof. Have you heard of Wim Hof? Do you know Lewis Howes?
Yeah.
He does interviews with Wim Hof.
Okay.
You can find them on YouTube. So Wim Hof does these breathing techniques, and I used to be really big into yoga, and then when I was in yoga, breathing was like a big part of yoga, right? So when I found this breathing technique through Wim Hof, it was set up so that there's nothing you cannot do if you're focused on your breathing. So, like, I don't like to be cold.
So Wim Hof.
It's
a person.
It's a person.
He's a Dutch adventurer, Chris.
Okay. So you might find it. He has so many world records for doing various things. Like, he swam under frozen water. He's went to the death point of Mount Everest in like shorts. He's ran ultra marathons in like sub-zero temperatures, like barefoot and things like that. And he contributes everything to this breathing technique. So it's and you can read about it, but it's all about like oxygenating all the cells of your body. Like, you're And so when you're in a state of alkalinity and when all your cells are turned on and oxygenated, it's impossible to be negative, fearful, sad, depressed. It's impossible to feel depressed when you're lit up, because you've just oxygenated all the cells of your body. So it's a beautiful way to change your physiology, to change your state, to get from a place of, some people wake up in the morning and they don't feel fantastic. Mm-hmm. You start breathing and you're intentional about breathing and filling your body full of oxygen and feeling fantastic. It's like, it's so powerful. So I'll do my breathing and then I drop to the floor and do some push-ups and some squats and things like that. You just feel like, I can conquer the world, you know?
I'm gonna go get my eggs.
It feels like you can conquer the world. So yeah, I'm very intentional about my morning routine. I won't start my day until I do my morning routines, because it sets me up for success.
Yeah.
And I know that I have to be intentional about how I want to be if I'm going to help other people. I can't just live by default.
Yeah.
It's not an option for me.
Well, it sounds like you got an awesome thing going. Why don't you take the last minute or so and just take us home, remind people who you are, what you do, and how people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, so Facebook is a really great place to find me, Rachel Gilmore. My website is rachel-gilmore.com. And I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. Instagram's Rachel Marie Gilmore. And I'm here really to serve humanity, to work with entrepreneurs who know that they have a greater purpose and they just don't know quite how to get there. I want to help them get there. I want to help them have a small part in changing humanity.
Yeah. Awesome.
Very good. Well, yeah. Rachel, thank you for coming on the Jones Zone. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.